Oh, I lost my thingies. Oh, no, no, no. Hello, everybody. Hold on. Oh, there it is. Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday night edition of Into the Night with me, Sean Kelly. How was everybody's weekend so far? I do want to give a little update on the investigation at the Dudas Farm last night. It was great. I mean, we had about 15 people there. And I want to thank Mark and Andrew Duda, who own the farm, for having a lot of people down to do this investigation. Especially my boy Roy White, who kind of set it up. But I tell you what, it was cold and it was muddy. But a lot of people had a good time. They had a good experience. People caught some stuff. A lot of shadow figures down in that area. And a lot of orbs too. So next month, I'm going to have Roy come on again. And then we're going to discuss the investigation at the farm. After my show tonight, we also got my friend Sean Patrick Hazlett. His show is Through a Glass Darkly with Sean Patrick. And my thing fell out, so hold on. It's going to be one of them days. And his show starts right after mine at 9:10. So he's a good host, and he always has some good shows with him. You can always catch me on Friday nights. Hey, Kason, good to see you. You can also catch me on Friday nights on News of the Flip Side with Sean Patrick Hazlett, Joe Monteldo. And he's going to kill me because I keep forgetting his name. That's Friday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. And so maybe next week I'll remember his name. Maybe Tuesday. This Tuesday coming up on Into the Night, I have Daniel James, who did a little YouTube show movie on the Bermuda Triangle of Pennsylvania. And I think that's going to be great. You know, I've had Daniel on before. He's a good friend. And I'm really looking forward to it because I really believe that it has something to do with Bigfoot and stuff like that, and I'm really looking forward to it. I want to thank Carnation for sponsoring my show tonight. I also want to thank UPRN Talk Radio, 105.3 New Orleans, 107.7 Mississippi, for allowing me to share 1 hour of my show with you. Also remember that I am on Tuesday nights, 8:10 to 9:10 p.m. on this very same channel. Tonight's guest, well, before we get to Sebastian Moran, good evening, Sean. Hope all is well, sir. Another great show on the way. Thank you, Sebastian. I appreciate it. It's good to see you again, pal. You've been missing for a little bit, but thank you. It's going to be a great show tonight. It really is. So is everybody waiting for the end of times tomorrow? I'm not going to get into it. You know, but I will be here Tuesday night doing my show. That's the way I look at the whole situation. But I don't know. Just, you know, and be safe during the solar eclipse and whatever you got to do. That's all he could tell you, to be honest with you, because I think nothing's going to happen. I believe that the moon's going to cross in front of the sun and it's going to go away, to be honest with you. That's the way I feel about it. But tonight's guest I have tonight is a friend of mine. And, of course, I got to get his bio. I'm going to read a little bit of the bio. I've been guest on his show a couple times, about 2-3 years ago. He started Haunted Houses in 2006, the Jack Shadow character. Jack Shadow began as a horror host in 2008, began Chiller Chat interview show 2008. And in the Sleepy Hollow Theater, renamed Chiller Night Theater in 2015 in honor of having Chilly Billy Cardilli. Anybody remember him? I did. To kick off the new relaunch. Hey, Cassandra. Good to see you. I'm not really going to talk about the eclipse tonight, Cassandra. I just believe that nothing's going to happen, and everybody's putting all this negative stuff out there, and putting the fear into everybody else, and they think it's the end of time. So I'm not going to talk about the eclipse. Sorry about that. Chiller Theater Escape Experience has had at least 4 escape rooms, a haunted house, And there's just so much about Brian. He had me on his show, and I did a couple interviews with him when I had Pittsburgh Paranormal Society. And tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about his rooms, his escape room. And I'm going to get a little bit more, personal with Brian as much as we can. But also, later on in the show, we're going to talk about the old horror movies and the old horror actors like Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney, Christopher Lee, all those actors. I think those shows were the greatest, man. I really do believe the old-time horrors. So, without any ado, I'm going to bring my friend Brian Hogue into the room. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Sean, thanks for having me on Into the Night. Appreciate it.
Oh, appreciate you coming on, man. Like I said, you had me on twice on your Chiller Night, I do believe it was. And I figured I would return, the favor, because I enjoyed your shows. I enjoyed when you were doing Chiller Nights and how you brought out the old movies. And it was just a fantastic show. Okay. And I think my people out here will enjoy listening about, your experience. Can you give us a little background about you, please?
Sure. My background is I've always loved horror movies. I've always loved, since I was a little kid. I grew up watching Chiller Theater every Saturday night with my parents and my brothers. And we just always, I've always loved that stuff. And so back in 2006, I started with my own haunted house. And so I've been doing haunted houses for quite a while and hosting a horror show, Chiller Night Theater, as this skeletal character, Jack Shadow. I've just always enjoyed that stuff. I don't know why. To me, I almost equate it with spending time with the family. Like everything I do is like basically family friendly. It gives you a good scare, but it's still something that you can take the family to or watch. If you're watching Chiller Night Theater on Saturday nights, it's something that you can feel safe watching with the kids, as was my experience growing up with Chilly Billy. So, and he was very supportive in what I was doing as well. Okay. So I had him on my show, Chiller Night Theater, and I checked with him before I did the name Chiller Night Theater because it was so similar, but I did it intentionally as a homage to Chiller Theater. And he said, "Oh, that's fine, Brian. That's fine. That's no problem." And so had Chilly Billy on the show, which was huge, for me. And then he was going to actually be on like a string of episodes, like 10 episodes. And before, it was 6 days before I was going to go and film with him. We were just going to film all of his segments in one day and then edit them up into various episodes. And then 6 days before that, I got a phone call that he couldn't because of his health. And then six right. weeks after that, he had passed away. So right. very unfortunately.
That was a big icon that here in Pittsburgh for Chiller Theater, because I remember watching it when I was young. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they were some good. He was funny. I think my favorite one was Terminal Stare.
Oh, yeah. right.
I no. think that was every young teenager boy.
Right.
You know, fantasy Terminal Stare.
And we're and all the out for it on Saturday nights.
yeah. well, hell, whatever they what they put on TV nowadays, God, that'd be nothing. You know what I mean? That would
right,
be like,
right.
like PG-13 type of stuff going on. But yeah. So you were saying about how you started Haunted Houses. What was your very first one?
My very first one was back in 2006. It was called The House of Terror, and I knew nothing about what the heck I was doing. It was a very, it was such a thrill because I was kind of exploring completely unknown territory and opening this thing up. But, in a weird way, I kind of miss that uncertainty, because I was kind of exploring at the time too and figuring out like how in the world to do this. In those earlier years were some of my funnest experiences, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get me wrong, I have a great time now, but there was something about those earlier years too, just like when you didn't know what you were doing, and there was a thrill to that, you
right.
know. But it was, yeah, 2006. And then the very next year is when I met my wife in one of my haunted houses. I had two of them the next year in 2007, The Dark Domain and The House of Terror. And The Dark Domain is where I met my wife, Ava. So okay. that was, you know, quite a story. She played a witch character in the haunt, and uh-huh. Which is actually kind of cool because she is a direct descendant of Rebecca Nurse from Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, wow.
You know, and those poor people were not witches, but,
right.
but you know,
right.
it is interesting how she is a direct descendant. Her maiden name is Nurse, and okay. she's a direct descendant from Rebecca Nurse. So we always thought that was pretty neat.
So what kind of ideas, like in the early haunted houses that you did, what kind of ideas did you have, and how did you come up with those ideas for different rooms in the haunted house?
I always thought about, like, I went to the Art Institute of Pittsburgh for industrial design. So I was always sketching stuff out and always drawing stuff out, always loved haunted houses. So I guess it was like through years and years of thinking, oh, I think I could do that. I think I could do that. And just, you know, I picked out like some of my favorite monsters, the classic monsters, you know, Frankenstein and the vampire, and even having a Bigfoot in the first year. And I don't know. It was just more of years of ideas and plans. Like, if I had a haunted house, here's what I would do. And then lo and behold, I finally got one. And
okay.
then I started putting those ideas into the haunted house. But the one thing that I wanted different, one thing I would go to different haunted houses to kind of do research.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one thing out of all that research that I told myself I wanted, and that was a greeter. Somebody who, when the guests come in to the first room, I want that greeter to really, really shine.
Right.
And that's where I came up with the idea of Jack Shadow, the character who then became the host of my hosted horror show on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where that idea came from. And Jack gave a very, lengthy, dramatic speech, really, really set the mood for things. And it was very important to me. I'm very much about atmosphere. And so Jack's shadow was very important to set that atmosphere before ushering him into the haunted house.
Do you still run a haunted house tonight this around this time now? Do you still do it?
Yes, I actually it's called Jack Shadow's House of Terror, and I relaunched that one last year in October 2023. So that's my newest one that I have. And again, the guests come in, they're still being greeted by Jack Shadow, gives them an elaborate little speech and sets the mood and sends them on their way into the haunted house, into the rooms beyond. So it's a lot of fun.
No, I bet it is, because when I was young, I used to do those too. I used to be an actor in those haunted houses, and it was fun. So tell us a little bit more about your Chiller Nights. And there's one movie I would like to talk to you about, but we'll just get you out of the way first, and we could talk about it. I remember, like, whenever I did the interview with you twice, and right after my interview, then you would throw on the movies, right? Okay. So did you just randomly pick out a movie to put on, or did you like have a certain system on how you would, what movies you would pick?
I would just kind of go through a list of public domain movies. I got to play the public domain, so I'm not in any violation of copyright. So, and I'd basically just kind of scan through a list of public domain movies and think, oh, there's one with Bela Lugosi. I got to play that one, or Boris Karloff, or Christopher Lee. The horror icons. Those would be favorites of mine. I don't know, whatever I thought I could have fun with, I would pick.
That's cool. Kason, my friend Kason, he says, you guys watch the movie called Hell House? I never did.
I see that one sounds familiar, and I don't think that was a public domain one. I could be wrong. Kason, maybe you can correct me on that. I don't know. But there's something familiar about that one. We were doing watch parties several years ago when you could do those on Facebook. And that one, I'm almost certain that that was one of the movies on the watch party. I don't know, but I could be wrong on that, but I'm not real familiar with Hell House, to be honest with you.
Well, you know that, and I'd like to get into the zombies. That's what I want to get in before we go on with the show, is tell people about your escape room.
Oh, okay. That's actually in the background is one of the rooms in my escape room zombie outbreak. It is I have a business. I have a store in Venango County. It's in the Cranberry Mall, but not the Cranberry Mall near Pittsburgh. It's up near Oil City in Franklin in Venango County, Pennsylvania. And it's a horror themed escape room store. And right now my first escape room is called Zombie Outbreak. They have it's between two to six, sometimes you get more players, and you have an hour to figure out the solve the puzzles and riddles and unlock the doors, and the objective is to escape before the 1 hour is complete.
Okay, and what got you into that? Oh, Kason wrote on the Hell House. It's a movie who also starred. It's that movie they also starred to make a haunted house, and then actually, paranormal activity started to happen. Hey, Robin, good to see you, hon. I think I know what you're talking about. It's like considered like the top 10 scariest movies ever made.
Was
They're
that one done? Was that one done like a like almost like a documentary type? Because maybe I was thinking of the wrong one when Kason first brought that up.
Yes, no, in
Maybe
fact, it's
okay. And
funny.
that's it. I remember seeing that one now. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's that's what it was, because it kind of like came to my memory. And as I was researching a little bit for the show tonight, I just typed in like the top 10 horror movies, and that was part of it. Hell House, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, Kaysen says it is filmed as a documentary.
Okay, I know which one you're talking about then. I did see that one.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and it's like, what do you think? What do you think of the movies back in the good old days to the horror movies that you see today? Is it better writing? Is it more realistic? Is there a realistic compare between the old and the new? How can you balance the thing out for that between old and new horror movies?
I've come to the conclusion that I think it's what you grew up with in a way, because like I love Dracula. I love the original Dracula, Bela Lugosi. I love the original Frankenstein, Boris Karloff, and Bride of Frankenstein. I just love those old ones. If you were to show them to a present time viewer now, and they've never seen them before, would they be scared? No. Would
No.
they love it? Not as much as me, I'm sure, because they didn't grow up with it. So I think some of it has to do with what you fell in love with earlier on.
Right.
But one thing, I look at, and I'll make a comparison. Even with the greats, like the Universal Horror. And then you can compare that to something like Freddy versus Jason or something like that. But Universal Horror, even back in that day, they started getting into stuff like, Frankenstein meets the Wolfman, to where they started pitching all their monsters in, and House of Dracula, House of Frankenstein. They started throwing them in there. Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein. So there was a little bit of that going on even back then with those iconic great monsters of old.
Right.
So I think it all comes back to what you grew up with, what you love,
Right. And I just remember those shows. I remember my son was like 5 or 6, and a girl I dated, she had all the old time shows on VHS, right? He loved them, man. He really, really loved them. I mean, I thought they were great. It to me back then, it seemed like that were there was more of a plot. It like not blood and gore and all that crap like they have today. You know what I mean? It seems like everybody's waiting for the slasher, the monsters coming up and decapitating heads and stuff like that. But back then it seems like it had a plot. You know what I mean? So I enjoy them. But I'm gonna have to take a break here. Go ahead, please, go ahead.
The one thing I was going to say is back then I see more of like your traditional beginning, middle, and your classic good versus evil, like as if you were telling a story from mythology. Okay, it was very, very much set up like that. Nowadays, not to sound like a grumpy old viewer, but there's so many twists they want to put in there, and then the jump scare at the end, and then is it really an end? Leave
True.
it open for a franchise, a sequel. So I do see that a lot.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. Hey, my Kaysen says I hate slashers. Hey, Rob, good to see you, my friend. Good to see you. Thank you for stopping in tonight. But we're going to take a little 70-second break, everybody, and we will be right back. Let me find it here. Here it is.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the second part of Into the Night with Sean Kelly. I got my guest, Brian Hogue. He's a good friend of mine. And the first half was pretty decent. Brian just shared a little bit about him stuff. And toward the before our break, we were sharing a little bit about the old movies. But before we go on with the second part, I want to thank UPR and Talk Radio, 105.3 New Orleans, 107.7 Mississippi. I also want to thank Carnation for sponsoring my show tonight. And I am on Sunday nights, as you all know, 8:10 to 9:10 p.m. And also on Tuesday nights from 8:10 to 9:10 p.m. This Tuesday, I got a very good ghost. Listen to me. I got a very good guest coming on. He wrote or did a video on YouTube. Is called the Bermuda Triangle of Pennsylvania. And if you want to Google that, hey, Cindy Simpson, good to see you, huh? It's called the Bermuda Triangle of Pennsylvania. And I'm going to have him on Tuesday night, and we're going to talk about the movie. So back to, forgot, my friend Sean Patrick Hazlett, his show Through a Glass Darkly, that will be on right after me tonight, so stick around and listen to his show. Ooh, there you go, I'm a ghost. And you can also catch Sean and me with Joe Monteldo, and I forgot, just tried to get the, I forgot his name, he's going to kill me. But we're on News on the Flip Side, Friday night on UPR and Talk Radio, and it starts at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. And 8 p.m. Pacific. So back to the show. Brian, did you know that zombies actually started in Pennsylvania?
Well, I know that the zombies that we're familiar with now.
Yeah. Okay.
Start with George Romero's Night of the Living Dead, if that's what you're referring to.
That's what I was referring to, yes. So everybody out there all over the world who is listening to the show and the people in the chat room, when George Romero made the movie, The Night of the Living Dead, oh my God, it was the best. It was the best. Chili Billy was on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's black and white. And I'm sure people can Google that on YouTube or whatever. And that you got to watch it, man. It's the original first ever zombie movie ever made. It's called The Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, I've had several of the people who've been on that movie on my show, and okay. Some of them we had a theater in Oil City. We had the Latonia Theater. We had Russ Streiner, George Cassana, John Russo. They came up and were guests, and we had it set up like a talk show. We would do the interviews. We had live bands. We had a live audience, and it was really cool. And we got to sit and chat with those guys about what it was like, you know, back in the day and making the movie Night of the Living Dead. Of course, I talked to Bill Cardell about that, you know, playing himself, you know, for that movie. He told me something that was pretty interesting. He said, you know, because he, of course, was very good friends with George Romero. And he told me, he says, you know, George told me he was sitting in the day room or something at college, you know, and they were watching The Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price. Very good movie.
Yes.
And he said he and his buddies are like, we could make a better one than that. And so that kind of, you know, was an inspiration for Night of the Living Dead. And so that's kind of neat to think about. But yeah, I love the fact that Pittsburgh is the hometown of the
original. Oh, the original, man, the original zombie. So everybody out there, I mean, so I'm going to ask you this question. So you saw the Night of the Living Dead. Compared to the zombie movies that they have out now, what's your feeling on that?
Well, what I like about Night of the Living Dead and the Romero zombie movies is the monsters are, for the most part, they get a little trot at the most, but mostly they're slow, they're lumbering, they're dead. And what I like watching those as opposed to the quick moving, running, rabid zombies. To me, it'd be interesting if you called them another kind of monster, but they're not zombies to me. I'm always going to be a George Romero zombie fan. And so what I do like about like the shows like The Walking Dead, though, is, you know, Greg Nicotero, who was a, you know, an avid student of Tom Savini, worked on the different Dead movies, Romero Dead movies, executive producer, one of the executive producers of The Walking Dead. So a lot of the Romero qualities from his zombies you see in The Walking Dead, which I do like that. Because I want to see the slow, yeah, you could probably run around them, but the fear of it is they're creepy, they're dead. They remind you what a dead thing would look and sound and move like, as opposed to the running, fast running zombies.
I think it's ridiculous. I'd rather go with Romero, you know. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, I was a little disappointed when they made The Dawn of the Living Dead. I mean, out in Monroeville Mall. Do you remember that?
Dawn of the Dead, yep.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. To me, Watson, the Night of the Living Dead, to me, is the ultimate old horror movie. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It really, really is. Tell everybody who Tom Savini is.
Oh, Tom Savini is a master special effects artist, and he's worked on a ton of the Romero movies that we've mentioned. He was actually going to be a special effects artist for Night of the Living Dead, but he had to go overseas. He was in the army, and he wasn't able to be part of that. However, I've had Tom on my show as well, and actually a guest in at one of my haunted houses years ago. But Tom was so much part of the Romero experience that George asked Tom if he would direct the remake, the 1990 remake, to Night of the Living Dead. Mm-hmm. And that because of the there was a copyright issue with Night of the Living Dead, so they wanted to get a copyrighted version of Night of the Living Dead. I mean, and Tom was very humbled by that, because he thought, well, how in the world, how am I going to tackle such a classic icon? And just knowing his association with George Romero, you know, he did it with a lot of love and homage to the master. But I gotta say, I really, really enjoy Tom Savini's version of Night of the Living Dead. I think it's a fun movie to watch, very entertaining. Mm-hmm. And it's got some really cool effects in there. So I don't know. I think it's a really, really fun one to watch as well, the remake.
My friend Tommy Miller says, hi everyone. Night of the Living Dead is still one of my favorite movies. It's a classic. Hi, Denise. Denise said, let's see what she says here. I've read Night of the Living Dead changed horror movies. That's a good question. What do you think of that statement? Hey, Joe Fox, good to see you. What do you think of her comment there?
Oh, I think so. There were things on that movie that were pretty impactful, because they were dealing with a lot of the social issues at the time. And I know that that's kind of overdone now, but at the time, back when we were first doing that, it's kind of like the original Star Trek episodes. You can deal with social issues in a fictitious manner, and it can come across very effective. I say nowadays it's kind of done to death, but back at the time it was pretty effective. And there were things in there that you had never seen before. Mm-hmm. like the good guy at the, you know, Ben at the very end, you know, he's killed off, you know, that's the hero of the movie, you know, spoiler, movie 68. But you did that, and then there was the child who turned, you know, and died because they were bitten by the zombie and reanimated and killed her mom. It was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is stuff that, you know, you didn't see in movies at that time. And so that right there, I think just because of the shock of that, and it was shocking back then, really, really did change horror movies.
Honestly, then I totally agree with you on that. When I saw the little girl turn into a zombie, man, that just freaked me out. I was okay with everything else, but when the little girl turned into a zombie, man, that was like, whoa, yeah. that was just like a little too much for me to handle at the time. So from zombies to Boris Karloff and his movies, that's what I really want to get into for the next 10, 15 minutes. What is your favorite old time movie? And who's your favorite actor?
They're different categories. It's a tough one to answer so I'll say Bela Lugosi is one of my obvious choices. Boris Karloff would be right there as well. Okay. I those two are the masters of the universal horror movies. If you're looking at, now, I also am such a big fan of the Hammer horror movies. I grew up watching those as well on Chiller Theater. I used to watch those. And the two main guys of the Hammer, Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing. Peter mm-hmm. Cushing would be my, you know, from started to become a big name in the horror, Hammer horror, 1958 and up. So he's one of my absolute favorites. And I say that, and Vincent Price is always going to be in a league of his own, you know, mm-hmm. Vincent Price. There's just no one like Vincent Price, but yeah. So I have the Universal, and I have the Hammer horror, and I love both of those. And then there's Vincent Price.
Wasn't Vincent Price on The House on Haunted Hill?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that was kind of creepy. But at that time growing up, let me see. Hold on, we got some here. My buddy Sebastian says both the remake and the original Night of the Living Dead are fantastic. Resident Evil games are very good also. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that? Of the game.
I back in the 90s, a buddy of mine had come over to visit me, and this is when I lived in Pittsburgh, and he brought over this thing called a PlayStation. Now this was, you know, I didn't know what this was at the time, and he brought over this game called Resident Evil, and he started playing it, and it was like, oh my gosh, what a creepy vibe to this game. You know, I was like, wow, this is to me as entertaining as watching a movie. And so I fell in love with Resident Evil, and I had to go out and get one of these crazy devices called a PlayStation. Back in the 90s, I got Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3. I'd never collected anything higher than that because I'm not much of a gamer, but I will agree that those games are outstanding, though.
Are they? I'm not a gamer at all. I don't have a clue. In fact, I get bored. I got ADHD, and I'll watch somebody play it for like 5 minutes, and then I'll just have to go off somewhere else and figure out what to do, because I just really, really just can't get into it. But I like to talk about vampire movies, okay? So, you know, the old vampire movie, Nosferatu.
Yes.
Compare that with the vampire movies that they got going on today. And the Christopher Lee, if I'm not mistaken, was played a vampire in a lot of movies.
Christopher Lee played Dracula. And Hammer Horror basically relaunched the Universal movies and their titles. And Christopher Lee played Count Dracula. Peter Cushing took Edward Van Sloan's place as playing Dr. Van Helsing. But Nosferatu It was a 1921 silent movie, and it was starred Max Schreck as the vampire. They called him Count Orlok. It was Count Dracula. It was the story of Count Dracula, but there were copyright issues at the time, back when that
That
movie was coming out. So they had to change his name to Count Orlok, but it was the story of Dracula, was heavily based on. So what I like about that movie is the vampire looks very monstrous. I mean, it's not a charming, good looking, seducing his victim type of thing, right? It's very rat, vile creature. And so I do like that. A lot of German expressionism, the shadows, a lot of playing with the shadows and stuff. So in that regard, I find the movie, I love that movie. I actually played that once on Chiller Night Theater.
Kaysen says the game BioShock Infinite is also awesome. It's not kind of zombie movie, but the zombies were called the Splicers. But my friend Denise again came to a question for you. She goes, Vincent Price, Peter Cushing, and Christopher Lee were chilling. Do you see actors now that are similar?
Not as much, I guess, to me, because I go back to what we were talking about earlier, but it's what you grew up with. So those actors are the most impactful to me. But I will say this, there's one actor. We were talking on my show a couple weeks ago, and somebody had asked a question, in these modern times, who would you get to play the Frankenstein monster? The topic of that night was Frankenstein monster. And I don't know the actor's name, but there was a show on AMC some years ago called Hell on Wheels. And this character played, he played, this guy played a character called the Swede. Thorn Gunderson was the character's name. Now, I don't know what that actor's name is, but I will say this, that guy had a very, very creepy mannerism about him. I mean, you see him in an interview, of course, he's as friendly as can be, but he could play something and really come across as very monstrous and menacing. And so, that's one that just stands out initially as the question was being asked. And it's too bad I don't even know the guy's name, but I can picture him, and he'd be perfect.
Okay, good question. I know we've been discussing some movies called with the Hammer Horror. Can you please tell my people out there what Hammer Horror is actually is, please?
Hammer Horror is it's a studio or film company from England. And what they did was, in the late 50s, 1958, they released their version of Frankenstein and Dracula. And it was starring Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing. Those were the two main guys. And from there, they went on to take the Mummy. Again, Christopher Lee played the Mummy. Peter Cushing played the archaeologist doctor fighting the Mummy. Curse of the Werewolf, one of my favorite werewolf movies ever, played Oliver Reed, an English actor. So basically, the Hammer horror films were movies between 1958 till at least the late 70s or mid 70s. They had some in well into the 70s, but their heyday was in the late 50s into the mid 60s. And they had some really fantastic movies. Do you ever want to check out some of the old vampire? You're asking me about vampire movies. Check out Christopher Lee as Dracula. He does a fantastic job. One thing about Christopher Lee, very, very tall, very imposing, very menacing look. And when he would flare up his fangs, his eyes would get blood red, and he just looked very, very, very menacing. Bela Lugosi had a very, I don't know, vampiric look to him. But you know what? We never even saw fangs on Bela. We never even saw that, you know, fangs on Count Dracula in 1931. They weren't there. They were implied, but we never actually saw the fangs. And that was kind of neat back then, is you had to use your imagination more.
Right.
You know, just imagine what was going on when he had the cape up around and he's sinking into the neck of the victim. So your mind filled in a lot of those blanks.
Kaysen says, now I'm not really a big Christopher Lee like you are, but Kaysen has a question. Christopher Lee is the guy who played Saruman in The Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. I've seen those movies. I'm not like a real knowledgeable about those or the Tolkien stories, The Hobbit and all that, but I do know that he did play in that, and he also played, this is kind of cool, he played Count Dooku in the prequel Star Wars movies. So it was kind of neat because Peter Cushing played Grand Moff Tarkin in the original Star Wars, and then years later, you had Christopher Lee playing Count Dooku, one of the Sith bad guys in the prequel Star Wars movies.
Sebastian came up with a couple movies here: Salem's Lot and Fright Night.
Oh, those are fantastic. Salem's Lot, that when I was a kid, that was a made for TV movie, or it's a Stephen King novel, but they did a mini series on TV for it. It was a span of a couple nights on TV. And I will just, I tell you what, there was that scene where the little kid was floating outside the window, scratching on, he had just recently been turned into a vampire. He's trying to get into his brother's room. Oh my gosh, that was so scary. It was very frightening as a kid to watch that. And even now, mm-hmm. when you watch that movie, watching how they use the shadows and they have maybe a vampire sitting back in the shadows and you see the eyes glowing and the face is dark. Very, very creepy stuff. And the vampire in that movie, Barlow, looked basically like you had brought up Nosferatu earlier. He looked very similar to that, you know, the very rat-like. Very, very scary looking vampire. And then he mentions Sebastian mentions Fright Night. To me, I love Fright Night. I remember in the 80s going to see in that. And I don't know, to me, that was one of those 80s fun movies to watch. But I've always actually have a poster of that in my store of Fright Night, just because I love that movie.
So we're getting pretty close to the witching hours. We got about 5 minutes, brother. I want to ask you your total honesty on this movie, Interview with a Vampire, and what's your feelings on Anne Rice?
I'll be honest with Anne Rice. I don't know that much about that topic. I've never read any of her books. I remember seeing an interview with the vampire back in the 90s, maybe when was it Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise, I think, were the president. Honestly, I don't remember it that much. So I can't really give you a good comment on that one, to be honest with you. I'm not that knowledgeable about it. I don't remember it that well. There were some parts of it I didn't care for. I know a lot. It has a big following. A lot of people do like it.
How about The Lost Boys?
I love The Lost Boys. Another 80s fun vampire movie. I just love that one. Yeah, that was excellent.
That was a very good movie. I like that movie, and I could sit down and watch it. But save the best actor for last. My best actor, who I think is like one of the best in all movies, would be Lon Chaney.
Ah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now there was Lon Chaney Sr., who was the dad,
mm-hmm.
Man of a Thousand Faces, who was the inspiration for Tom Savini going into special effects makeup. But his son Lon Chaney Jr., he played the Wolf. Lon Chaney Jr. actually is the only actor to have played all the main monsters.
Oh, really?
He played the Wolf Man. We all know him as the Wolf Man in 19 what 41. Then he also played the Mummy. He played Karis the Mummy in three of the Universal horror movies. He played Dracula in The Son of Dracula. He's actually supposed to be Count Dracula, resurrected. And he played Frankenstein. He played the Frankenstein monster as well in The Ghost of Frankenstein. I believe it was The Ghost of Frankenstein. Yeah, so that's
Well,
kind of neat about Bela Lugosi, or not Bela, I
come
mean
on, Sandy.
Lon Chaney Jr., is the fact that he's one of the only actors that I know of who played all the major monsters.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Now, Frankenstein was a hell of a movie. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. And now with the movies, I like The Underworld. You know,
Okay.
Kate Beckinsale, man, she's hot. She's hot, Kate. But let's see. Kaysen says that Salem's Lot is an offshoot of the novel Dark Tower. And Joe Fox says, I was born 50 years too late. You were, Joe, man, because I'll tell you what, I just remember Saturday night eating popcorn. And I'm being honest with you guys, eating popcorn and just watching Chili Billy and just watching these old shows. I mean, it was fun. And you know, it was crazy. All during the week, you look forward to Saturday night. And it was funny because he used to come on, what, 11:30 at night. And you know, you had to beg and plead your parents to stay up that long. You know what I mean? If you could stay up that late to actually watch one of the shows. But Chiller Theater, Chili Billy Cardilli, and your show, but Chili Billy Cardilli, I think was kind of like the best, you know, dude, you know. How can people get a hold of you?
Well, I have my site right there, chillernight.com. They can go to that and they can check out the various things that I do with the escape rooms, the haunted houses, Chiller Night Theater, the host of horror show with Jack Shadow. Even watch old episodes of Chiller Chat. That's the interview show I had for many years. I had all kinds of guests on there. That was inspired by Coast to Coast AM. So I thought, I got to have an interview segment to complement the hosted horror show. And you can just go to chillernight.com. There's a section there where you can even get in touch with me. I'm the only one who answers the email there. So if you're writing to it, you're writing to me. So be happy to hear from you.
Do you have anything coming up in the future?
I have a second escape room called the Witching Hour that should be opened up very soon, hopefully by the end of next month.
Now, would that be in Cranberry Mall? The old...
Yes, Cranberry Mall in Venango County,
Okay.
Pennsylvania.
That's country up there, brother. That's country up there.
But
Well,
if
Brian.
people kind of want to keep an eye on that, they can go to chillernight.com and I'll announce it, when it does open very soon.
Brian, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. I really had a good time. It was nice to talk about the old movies and stuff like that, you know. And I hope that the audience, you know, learned a little history behind the movie The Night of the Living Dead, because I learned a couple stuff, you know, like that. But if you want to hang around, thank you, Denise. Appreciate it. She says it's an interesting show. Thank you. But children, if you can, please go to your parents. Thank you, Kaysen. Kaysen says, good show as always. Thank you for that compliment. If children, if you can, please go to your parents and give them a hug and tell them that you love them. And parents, please go to your children, give them a hug, and tell them that you love them. And if you don't have no parents, and if you don't have no children, you know, find somebody that you know and give them a hug and tell them, I love you. The saying, I love you, goes a long way. And on that note, remember, Tuesday night, I'm going to have Daniel James on, and we're going to talk about the Bermuda Triangle of Pennsylvania. And again, on that note, everybody have a good night, and I will see you Tuesday.
Sean, thank you for having me on the show tonight. I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome, Brian. Have a good, and this, we got to do this again someday.
Sounds good.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.